The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right. Good day, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, October 18th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We've got plenty of stuff to bring to you today, and you'll have to put down your binders full of women before we can get to all of this. Let's get right to it, because we've got news headlines to cover. Coming up after the first break, we're going to talk about all sorts of news that's going down all across the United States and the world. In Arkansas, they're using racist imagery to fight against the medical marijuana initiative that's down there, and Montel Williams has something to say about that. Sacramento's looking to ban outdoor marijuana grows. Colorado is talking about pot tourism should they pass Amendment 64, and a teenager from Japan gets 6 months of prison in Indonesia for you won't believe how much marijuana. Then we'll take a look behind the headlines. I'm going to get into the meth girl billboards. You remember those? We talked about them last week here in Portland, Oregon. Well, the group behind the meth girl still can't stop lying about her, so we're going to call them out on their lies. Then at 20 after, we've got time for our daily Toker tune. It's Groovin' Thursday, so the best of hip-hop, rap, R&B, and funk. And today, we're getting some music that was sent to me by HDI Records out of Greenville, South Carolina. We'll talk about that at 20 after. And then at half past, I am so excited. I've been waiting for this video for a long time. Sean McAllister from Dallas-Fort Worth Normal has finally uploaded Dominic Holden's speech from the Normal National Conference in Los Angeles. Dominic Holden won the Hunter S. Thompson Media Award and had a scathing speech for those who are opposing I-502 in Washington State. We're going to play that speech in its entirety at half past the hour. When we move into hour two, Toker Talk Radio, I'm going to bring you a radical rant. Jennifer Alexander and I have been working on some of the data of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, and I'm going to show you the numbers show there isn't abuse of Oregon medical marijuana. There's not enough use of medical marijuana in the state of Oregon, and the data prove it. We're going to show you all of that. Plus, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. I'm riding solo here at Rolla J Studios. And for those who are expecting me to be in Madras today at that statewide marijuana summit, I apologize. I just wasn't able to set up the transportation to get there. I hope I'm able to make it to the next one. But we got folks that are going there. Jim Grigg will be there. We hope he's getting the flyers and handouts, and we'll have him on the show, and we'll cover that on a future episode of the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Kids and marijuana, it's something every parent worries about. With Measure 80 on the ballot, many parents are worried about what message legalized marijuana would send to their children. While legalization seems scary, our experience with alcohol and tobacco show that regulation and education, not prohibition, are what best protects our children. Today, fewer teens drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes than when we were growing up. And that's because we passed strict ID carding regulations, put beer and cigarettes out of kids' reach, and educated them about the real harms of smoking and drinking. In fact, teens smoking and drinking are at their lowest recorded levels ever. And we didn't arrest a single adult for cigarettes and beer to accomplish that. Kids consistently say that beer is harder to buy than pot. After Measure 80, marijuana is treated like alcohol. You have to be 21, you have to show ID, and you have to go to an adults-only store. The message we send to kids today is just say no, and it doesn't work. Let's send the message that marijuana is for adults, and someday they can make that decision for themselves. Vote yes on Measure 80.
Now it's time for your 420 headline news with Carrie Gallagher. Carrie is off this week. I'm Russ Belville with the news. Reporting from the Washington Post, talk show host Montel Williams says opponents of Arkansas's medical marijuana ballot measure are resorting to racist imagery with a television ad featuring an African-American actor portraying a drug dealer. The Coalition to Preserve Arkansas Values, which unsuccessfully tried to sue and get the medical marijuana proposal off the ballot, said it paid about $1,000 for airtime to run a 30-second spot opposing the measure. The ad at one point shows a black actor sitting at a table with guns and filling bags with marijuana. The narrator in the ad says, quote, "The grass growers and dope dealers would be in charge. Arkansas doesn't need a state filled with stoned-out zombies or the criminal activities that come from legalizing controlled substances," end quote. Montel Williams telling a crowd gathered in front of the state capitol steps, quote, "Offensive is really an understatement. It's the most egregiously racist, false statement you've ever seen in your life. They've got people sitting in the picture holding guns, talking about medical marijuana, and of course they happen to be of different colors to make sure you're as irritated and angry as you can be," end quote. The Arkansas measure would allow patients with qualifying conditions to buy marijuana from nonprofit dispensaries with a doctor's recommendation. If approved, Arkansas would become the first southern state to legalize medical marijuana. In other news from Arkansas, from the Arkansas blog at ArkansasTimes.com, state agency head distributes talking points against medical marijuana. Jennifer Gallagher, director of the Arkansas Division of Behavioral Sciences, has distributed a memo to employees with talking points against the medical marijuana initiative. The blog got a tip about this memo from a correspondent who questioned the propriety of a state agency head lobbying on a ballot issue. Amy Webb of the Department of Human Services responded, "Jennifer Gallagher is the director of the Division of Behavioral Health Service, which includes substance abuse prevention and treatment. Both she and her employees have been asked by providers and others to give their stance on medical marijuana. Mrs. Gallagher's office gathered factual information on the issue and shared it with her staff, which is absolutely appropriate given what the division does." Reporting from the San Francisco Chronicle, Sacramento wants to ban outdoor marijuana gardens. The city council voted Tuesday to draft an ordinance prohibiting outdoor marijuana grows. Deputy Police Chief Dana Mathis says the outdoor gardens are leading to crime, including a recent incident in which a homeowner fired gunshots at intruders in his backyard crop. The Sacramento Bee says the council also voted to keep restrictions on medical marijuana dispensaries. The pot shops cannot operate within 1,000 feet of other dispensaries, 3,300 feet of residences, and 600 feet of schools and parks. There are 17 marijuana dispensaries in Sacramento. The city has a moratorium on dispensaries following a series of federal crackdowns. Reporting from the Denver Post, Colorado marijuana legalization measure raises the question of pot tourism. In a debate co-hosted by the Denver Post and Nine News, Amendment 64 opponent Happy Haines said the measure would attract illegal drug dealers, hurt Colorado's brand among businesses, and bring in unwanted marijuana tourists. Proponent Betty Aldworth saw it differently, saying there is no evidence that the measure would harm the state's business climate and that any marijuana-motivated visitors would be welcome. Quote, "Those are tourism dollars, are they not?" End quote, Aldworth asked. Haines said the state should be more discriminating. Quote, "The idea that any dollars that we get are okay, I'm not in favor of swelling our state coffers with money because people are getting high." And finally, news from the Washington Post. An Indonesian court has given a 17-year-old Japanese boy 6 months for possessing marijuana in Bali. The teen could have received 12 years under Indonesia's tough narcotics laws. Judge Gunawan Tri Budiono said in the Denpasar District Court that although the boy, quote, spoiled the image of Bali as a tourist destination, end quote, he showed leniency because the boy is young and bought the drugs for personal use. The teen, who cannot be named under Indonesia law because of his age, admitted to buying 2.6 grams of marijuana for personal use. He has been detained in a police cell since August 8th. He'll be credited for time served and serve out the rest of his 6 months in prison for 2.6 grams. That's your 420 headline news for today, Thursday, October 18th, 2012. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the reappearance of Meth Girl in the Portland, Oregon area. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back. Law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates, gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps.
Welcome back, folks. It's time for us to go behind the headlines, and you'll remember this billboard that we covered on our show just last week. The billboard says, "Marijuana, what's good about it? Nothing." And it features the face of a sullen, scab-covered girl with the website protectoursociety.org. We did a lot of undercover reporting on this, and thanks to the work of activists like Sin Sativa and Betty Retro, and some investigative reporting from Jen Alexander, and some press coverage with all the folks in our Oregon activist community, we were successfully able to get these billboards taken down from the various Clear Channel locations they were located, 8 different locations in Portland because of this. But we've got some updates now on this meth girl. The picture that you're seeing there is currently being used by that group, Protect Our Society. And you can find their website at protectoursociety.org. I've got links to it at the blog at radicalrust.com. And underneath this picture, they use the same picture of the girl, and they write, "The young 12-year-old girl in the photo above is known as Renee. She is from California. Her downhill battle with methamphetamine addiction began when she began experimenting with illegal drugs. 99% of all meth addicts have told us that using marijuana was where they began." Now, aside from the fact that the gateway theory has been disproved by every group that has looked at it, including our own federal government's Institute of Medicine in 1999, despite that fact, and despite just the simple common sense that, yeah, 99% of the Hell's Angels may have started on tricycles, but that doesn't mean buying a kid a tricycle is going to turn him into a Hell's Angel. Besides that, the problem here is that the woman in the billboard, the woman in the picture, the woman we've been calling Meth Girl, is not a 12-year-old girl and has never used meth. Now, Jennifer Alexander's got an excellent post on this, and you can check it out at RadicalRust.com. There's a link. And here's the quote from the piece. After some investigation and phone calls, Oregonians for Law Reform discovered that the Meth Girl ads were indeed staged, according to Kim Kapp, the public information coordinator and website administrator for the City of Vancouver, Washington Police. Quote, Meth Girl was a model, end quote, that was mocked up to appear to be a meth addict for a meth awareness campaign in 2003. Kapp was positive that this was a model and not a real meth user because Washington law prohibits the use of face shots of victims of crime, and that includes drug addicts. Furthermore, because it was funded with federal grant money, there was very close oversight for the project, ensuring everything was done by the book. Now, in addition to the lies about Meth Girl, of course, they lie about marijuana in many, many respects. And I'll just try to shoot down a few of these. First, they say, attempts to legalize marijuana around the nation bring to light the importance of educating the general public on the dangers of marijuana. First, marijuana is a federally illegal drug. Any attempts to legalize marijuana would put any state out of compliance with the Federal Drug-Free Workplace Act, according to research done by the California Chamber of Commerce. Well, folks, you know, that's wrong. The Federal Drug-Free Workplace Act applies to federal contractors and grant recipients. It does not apply to a state and does not require a state keep marijuana illegal. The federal government has no constitutional authority to mandate that a state keep marijuana illegal. And even those few agencies that are required to comply with the Drug-Free Workplace Act are not mandated to perform drug testing. This is from the Frequently Asked Questions section of the U.S. Federal Drug-Free Workplace Act. Is drug testing required or authorized under these regulations? Quote, the act and these rules neither require nor authorize drug testing. Specifically, the legislative history precludes the imposition of drug testing of employees as a part of the implementation of the act. Furthermore, in an Oregon, most state employees cannot be subject to random drug testing anyway. All right, let's go back to some more of the lies from Protect Our Society. They say, quote, drugged driving incidences are on the rise, and Oregon currently doesn't have any established THC standards for driving under the influence of marijuana. Law enforcement has very little recourse to keep those impaired drivers off the road. Well, how do you know drug driving is on the rise if cops have no way of detecting drug driving? If the incidences are on the rise, doesn't that tell us that the cops are catching them now? They continue. The percentage of kids in drug counseling for marijuana addiction has been increasing annually, and the resulting negative effects place both our youth's development and our future workforce at risk. When you catch someone smoking pot, you sentence them to rehab. That's not addiction. That's rent seeking. They continue. The truth is, the production and distribution of marijuana is already big business and controlled by violent drug cartels. We need only look at the violence occurring among warring drug cartels along our border with Mexico. Well, which cartels? Would that be Dos Equis versus Corona? Would that be Jose Cuervo versus Patron? Oh, right, yeah. Those drug cartels don't cause any violence on our Mexican border because they're legal commodities that we import to America daily. But thanks for making our point for us, though. We want to put those violent cartels out of the marijuana business. And then finally, they say, since marijuana remains illegal under federal law, any locally imposed taxes from marijuana would be legally uncollectible. Right. Okay. Tell that to the Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division of the Colorado Department of Revenue. Tell that to the California Board of Equalization, both of which have been collecting taxes from dispensaries for years now. There's more to this. Kevin Sabet shows up, of course, with his whole, we can't legalize because the costs would end up being more than what we'd gain in the taxes, ignoring the fact that a marijuana smoker's costs are 1/40th that of a tobacco smoker, yet that's legal. Oh, boy, we got to take a break here. Enjoy some salad. You got to have some greens in your life. It's very important to have greens in your diet. I hope you've got some greens in your diet. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. For that amotivational syndrome. Music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Time for our Daily Toker Tunes for the day. And, you know, one of the nice things about doing this job is I get emails from people all around the country, supporters of ending adult marijuana prohibition, and a lot of them are involved in the entertainment industry, as you can imagine. So I got this email from HDI Records out of Greenville, South Carolina. They're telling me they've just released a new hip-hop mixtape that's called Pineapple Express. Now, it's online. It's downloadable as an MP3, so I don't know how that makes it a mixtape. Does that term even work anymore, mixtape? Anyway, I dig, because I go back to cassette days, so I know what you're saying. All right, so a hip-hop mixtape called Pineapple Express that has a few songs that might be appropriate for the show. He also mentions he's been watching the show for a while and remembered how we played various tree-related music during segments and attached a new song for us. This one is called Miss Mary Jane. It's a Shooter and D-Rock. It also features Cook E. Cook on this one, so check it out. Miss Mary Jane.
Yeah. That fresh shit, that net shit, that pineapple fresh shit. Look. OG the sour D, actually smoking avidly. Swag gonna save the earth, I swear my niggas going green. Yeah, we holding green, forever rolling trees. You let your bitch come to my show, she gon' be blowing me. Bye bye the O, smell it on my clothes. D-Rock be rolling up, cause all these bitches down to smoke. He been told you we ain't gotta ask your bitch to look. You smoking on that Bobby Brown pack, getting that Reggie Bush. Miss Mary Jane, Jane, Jane. You blow my mind, you blow my mind, don't blow my high. Hey, hey, don't blow my high. Miss Mary Jane, Jane, Jane. You blow my mind, you blow my mind, don't blow my high. My, my, my.
twist it, bump it, pass it, get it, hit it, don't you kill it, don't forget to ash it, take this boat here, yeah, just cash it, and I'm smoking fly shit, yours is brown grass shit, be chilling in the building, you can't get access granted, fucking wood, cause you'll never be sober again, pineapple expression, I'm on point, I don't ever miss, fuck them fake niggas, who always trying to diss, I just turn the other way while I light up my slip, I'm married to the green, Mary Jane is my mistress, my lyrics are like acid, they're gonna make a head trip, bad white hole, look like Trish Stratus, and I have her face down, red jumpsuit apparatus, Miss Mary Jane, you blow my mind, you blow my mind, don't blow my mind, don't blow my mind. Miss Mary Jane, you blow my mind, you blow my mind, don't blow my mind, don't blow my mind. Miss Mary Jane, you blow my mind, you blow my mind, don't blow my mind, don't blow my mind. Yo, I be rolling all day and smoking all night. Me and my bro will give your girl that good pipe. Believe it, I'll convert any bitch from a dyke. Good sound, that's that shit I do like. Rolling planes thicker than the wheels on them. I be smoking sevens like an IQ poem. Miss Mary, you got my heart and my mind in control. So much of you around, you would think I grow. But you the reason that I'm never low. And you the only thing wrong that I will blow. Pause. My life is a never-ending high. You the cause, Miss Mary Jane, Jane, Jane. You blow my mind, you blow my mind. Don't blow my mind. Come on, girl. Don't blow my mind. Miss Mary Jane, Jane, Jane. You blow my mind, you blow my mind. Don't blow my mind. Come on, girl. Don't blow my mind. Miss Mary Jane, Jane, Jane. You blow my mind, you blow my mind. Don't blow my mind. Come on, girl. Don't blow my mind.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 million suns. Rising of the Milky Way.
The cosmos is full beyond measure.
As the former chief federal prosecutor, I enforced our marijuana laws. I've come to believe they don't work. Filling our courts and jails has failed to reduce marijuana use. And drug cartels are pocketing all the profits. It's time for a new approach. Initiative 502 brings marijuana under tight regulatory control, generates new revenue for education and prevention. And if we pass 502, we'll have more resources to go after violent crime instead. Yes, on 502.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, 29 after the hour, and I'm excited about this next video. I haven't seen it yet myself, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It's Dominic Holden, the 2012 Hunter S. Thompson Award winner from Normal, speaking at the Normal Los Angeles conference, and it's a fiery speech, I am told, that takes down the opposition to I-502 legalization in Washington State. Let's just get on with it. This is Dominic at the Normal National Conference. Big thanks to Sean McAllister, DFW Normal, for this video. Really appreciate
Welcome
it.
Welcome to the 41st Annual Normal Conference. It's wonderful to see all of you. We all stand for freedom. And my friend Dominic Holden, who I met at my first Seattle Hemp Fest over 10 years ago, will be our opening speaker. Dominic last night earned the Hunter S. Thompson Award. He's an amazing individual, articulate without fear, does not take sides, but speaks his mind. And I can certainly appreciate that. And he is a columnist at the Seattle Stranger, former member, as Norm said, of the Normal Board. And I would like to welcome Mr. Dominic Holden.
I never take sides. Ever. And I make a very, very large salary as a reporter at a weekly newspaper. If you ever want to bring home the dough, I have to do. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, then give me an N.
N.
That wasn't very good. Give me an N.
N.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me an M.
M.
Give me an L.
L.
What's that spell? District, on the edge of the Central District in Seattle. It's a mostly African-American neighborhood, and I lived right kind of on the edge. My block was about half black and half white, and down one side of the hill it was white kids, the other side of the hill it was black kids, and by the time I was a teenager, most of the African-American kids had been busted for pot, and the kids on the white side of the hill had taken acid and sold pot, and they didn't have a single damn problem with the police. And I went to a predominantly African-American Catholic school. There aren't many of those in Seattle, I'll tell you. And we were steeped in the civil rights movement, and I got into marijuana law reform because this is a civil rights issue. This is about fairness. This is about people not being discriminated against and being able to achieve their full potential without the government using marijuana as a tool to crack down on people it doesn't like, whether it's because cops are unfair, because we have institutional racism in this country. Marijuana is only incidental to that fight. When I was 24 years old, myself and a guy named Ben Livingston in Seattle, Washington, we wanted to run an initiative. And we talked to the ACLU, and it turned out to be an initiative that would make marijuana enforcement the lowest priority for police and prosecutors in Seattle, Washington. And we needed money. And the first person we went to was a man who's spoken at normal conferences before, a local philanthropist named Bruce McKinney. We said, Bruce, can you please give us some money for our campaign? And he said, yes, I would love to give you some money for your campaign. I will give you $2,000 so you can conduct polling, so you can see that you will lose, so you will not run that campaign. Thank you, Bruce McKinney. We took that money and we did a poll, and we found that we had about 50% support and 17% undecided. And so despite his advice, we decided to move forward, and we gathered our signatures, and we came to a normal conference in San Francisco, and we asked other people for money, and we went to John Gilmore. I don't know if you guys know John Gilmore. He's been a philanthropist for this movement. And we said, John Gilmore, we have a good poll, and we're working on a campaign, and we would like you to please give us some money. And he said, no. He said no. He says, it's not going to work. It's going to be ineffective. You're probably not going to make the ballot. If you do, it's going to fail. No, 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 no. We made the ballot. Thank you very much, John Gilmore. And we were roaring into it. It was after HempFest, and I was on the steering committee of HempFest at the time, and it was 2003. We're about a month away from the vote, and I sit down with the HempFest steering committee, and they say to me, that I-75, it's a bad idea. Not all of them, but most of them. They said, it's going to fail. They said, if it passes, it's not going to do anything. Also, your strategy sucks. You're ugly. You know, and we're ugly. The Seattle PI, which is a fairly progressive editorial board, they said, no, 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 it's a bad idea. You can't do it. And you know what? We did hear from the other side. We heard from the drug czar. And we heard from local law enforcement, the prosecutor's office, and the sheriff, and, you know, they were a voice. But the people who were loudest, the people who said that we shouldn't do it, the people who said your strategy is wrong, your law doesn't go far enough, those were people from our own side. These were other pot activists and other progressives. Have you guys ever heard of a concern troll? A concern troll is someone on the internet who pretends like they share all your values and your goals, but maybe your strategy's a little off. So we were hounded by concern trolls, but we pushed forward with I-75 anyway because we thought it was winnable. And the problem with marijuana law reform, in my opinion, the number one hurdle we have is convincing people that we can fucking win. Yeah. How many of you, and we can't win, but how many of you have gathered petition signatures where you know people haven't signed it yet and they tell you, I've already signed it? That ever happened to you guys? Has any one of you ever sat down with someone who totally supports legalizing marijuana and they said, yeah, I'm totally with you, but I don't think it's gonna happen?
Yes.
Yeah? We're faced by losses all the time. Some of it's fatigue. Sometimes it's because every time there's a medical marijuana raid, people think that medical marijuana laws have been nullified across the country. So we are plagued by these losses. And what we needed, what we need, are more wins to instill this confidence in our own allies. And so I-75, it fucking won. It won by 57% to 43%, it fucking won. And what did it do well? Prioritize marijuana enforcement. We didn't make it up. Dale Geringer did it in Mendocino County. I don't know where Dale is. There's Dale. Holler for Dale Geringer. Oakland has done it. Lots of cities have done it. And what that does is it does not just put a gesture law on the book, something that's essentially a resolution, and it doesn't just encourage those enforcement officials who can use their discretion to stop marijuana prosecutions. It changes the identity of a region when you are winning. Thanks to things like I-75 and thanks to HempFest, when you read articles about Seattle, they say marijuana, Seattle is a very marijuana-friendly city. We actually wrote that at the bottom of our press releases for a long time. See, like, if we say it long enough, it becomes true. And it is true. People think of Seattle as a place that supports marijuana legalization, the same way that people who live in San Francisco think that they live in a gay-friendly city, and they're not sure as hell not going to discriminate against gay people, and people in Seattle are going to shut their damn traps if they think that pot smokers should go to jail. Now, every single elected official in Seattle is on the record supporting legalization. Our sheriff is on the record supporting legalization. Every single member of Seattle's legislative delegation supports legalization. So one little win a ways back has changed the culture, and it set us up for another win. And I'm here, I basically wasn't told what I'm gonna talk about, so I'm gonna talk about winning. And I'm going to, what I want to talk about is our short-term goals and our long-term goals and how they involve winning all the way along the road. We need to take our victories when we can get them. So I'm going to talk about three things. The first one is what we can learn from experiences in Washington, in California, and from the civil rights movement. The second thing I'm going to talk about is what is happening right now in Washington State. And the third thing I'm going to talk about is what makes the difference between something that can win from something that cannot win. So we have a lot of experience with small victories leading to larger victories. And I'm going to talk very quickly about California. In California, in 1991, voters passed Proposition P. It was basically a resolution that said, we support the medical use of cannabis. And it passed by 80%. It was incredible. Was that the final word on medical marijuana in San Francisco or California in the United States? No, absolutely it was not. The Board of Supervisors of San Francisco came in the following year and made marijuana for medical purposes the lowest priority. In 4 years, 3 years after that, in 1995, California voters passed Proposition 215 that legalized medical marijuana, one of the best medical marijuana laws in the entire country. And that was built on the previous victories. In 2010, the legislature in California approved a bill that decriminalized the possession. It had been a misdemeanor in California, and then they decriminalized it to an infraction punishable by a $100 fine that would not show up on your criminal record. All of these are victories that have built on the ones beforehand. And all of them, there are people along the way who have said, it's not enough, we need to do more. And they're right. It's not enough, we do need to do more, but they're not the final word. And if do any of you live in states that still have state-run liquor stores? How fucking backward is that shit, right? Alcohol laws are fluid. Marijuana laws are fluid. Of those people who raised your hand just then, raise your hand if you believe that what you have now is worse than prohibition. If you'd like to go back to prohibition instead of this idiotic fucking state-run stores. Not a goddamn hand, right? You've got to build on your victories. I want to look at gay rights in Washington State. In 2006, our legislature passed an anti-discrimination bill against gays and lesbians. And people said, that's not enough, we want gay marriage. And the legislature said, yeah, we hear you, we don't think that gay marriage can pass. They came back the next year, in 2007, and they had a sip of water. You have to do it once a year. They came back in 2007 and they passed a domestic partnership bill that conferred these romantic rights of marriage, like making funeral arrangements and hospital visitation, to same-sex couples. And then they came back in 2008 and they extended more rights to gay couples. They came back in 2009 and they extended all of the state-granted rights of marriage to same-sex couples that are afforded to opposite-sex couples. But throughout it, people were screaming bloody murder. They were marching and they were saying, marriage equality now, and we need to do more. And there's a columnist named Ken Schramm who works for Como in Seattle, and he wrote a nasty column chiding State Senator Ed Murray saying, why haven't you introduced a marriage bill? And he actually had introduced a marriage bill, but it couldn't get any traction because it wasn't its time yet. And now, finally, in 2012, the Washington State Legislature passed marriage equality so that all gay couples in Washington State get the equal rights that they finally deserve. And the right wing, yeah, the whole thing is goddamn applause because the right wing fucking bigots have put it on the ballot. They've done exactly what people thought they would do. They put it on the ballot, they're challenging it. And now, in 2012, we're in a place that we couldn't have been a few years before we had these discussions about domestic partnerships. We have the polling that says that we are likely to be one of the first states in the country, along with Maryland and Maine, this November, to be states in which the general public legalizes same-sex marriage for the very first time. Because 2012 is the year we can do it, but 2006 was not the year we could do it. And each of the victories in between built on where we are now. Consider the civil rights movement. The Emancipation Proclamation was not the final word. And Brown versus Board of Education in 1954 was not the final piece of legislation for civil rights. And even the Civil Rights Act, 10 years later in 1964, was not the final word on civil rights. For all of these cases, medical marijuana patients in California are still going to be harassed. Gay couples are still going to be discriminated against, even after same-sex marriage is legalized. And African Americans and non-white people are going to be discriminated against because of the color of their skin. But is there anyone here in this room who would say that the steps that we've taken so far on those fronts should not have been done? No, they're all important. They're all part of where we're going. And I want to talk now about what's happening in Washington State. In Washington State, there's an initiative on the ballot next month that would legalize marijuana possession of up to an ounce for adults 21 and over. It would allow them to possess up to 16 ounces of cannabis-infused food product and 72 ounces, like a six-pack, of marijuana infused sort of in some sort of liquid form, which is a shocking amount of hash oil. I just want to go ahead. It's like a six-pack of hash oil. It's just like alcohol. The polling looks good. The polling looks really good. Survey USA found it up with 57% support, and with a 23-point lead. Other polls show it around 50%, but still with a strong lead over opposition. The backers include sponsor Rick Steves, who's right over there. Rick Steves, yeah. Right. U.S. Attorney John McKay, also Kim Thorburn, formerly of the Spokane's Health Department in rural conservative eastern Washington. They are the sponsors, and this initiative just got another $1 million for fall ad buy, and they're expecting as much as another $2 million to move their target demographic. I-502 is moving in the right direction. Who is opposing Initiative 502? Pat Slack, a law enforcement officer from Snohomish County, is among them. But they're pretty quiet and half-hearted. The people who have filed the no on I-502 pack, they're pot activists. It's Steve Sarich, who runs a dispensary group called Canacare, Gil Mobley, a cannabis doctor who writes authorizations in Washington, and a whole passel of pot activists along with them, including some who've run initiatives before. At the medical marijuana march that we had in May, they brought their signs, they brought their banners, they brought their t-shirts. They turned it into a don't legalize marijuana march. It was the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen as a pot activist, and I've been doing this since 1994. They have a couple leading complaints. The first one is they don't like a provision in I-502 that says that if you have 5 nanograms of active THC in your blood for every, 5 nanograms of active THC for every milliliter of whole blood, then you are automatically guilty of DUI. It's a per se standard like we use for alcohol. I'm not a huge fan of per se standards, I've got to admit. I think that you should have to prove impairment. But this is the standard we have in Washington, it's the standard we have in a lot of different places. And what the opponents have been saying is that someone who has used marijuana, a regular marijuana user, a medical marijuana user, will test positive for exceeding that level a day later, 2 days later, a week later. Well, guess what? They don't have a single fucking scientific study to back them up. In fact, the science proves them wrong. But science shows that the vast majority of marijuana users drop below that 5 nanogram level within a few hours, and none within 12 to 24 hours, and certainly not a day later, or 2 days later, or a week later. Their argument is fundamentally flawed because it's a lie. That is what our medical marijuana industry in Washington State has been pushing as its primary argument. They are also concerned about a federal challenge. They say that if we pass I-502, well, then the federal government is going to challenge us on legalizing pot. Newsflash, that's the damn point. Yeah. I had a Facebook comment 2 days ago. A person said, well, if we don't want to pass I-502, what we need to do is we need to wait for Congress or the UN to legalize marijuana. You can go ahead and raise your hand if you think that Congress or the UN is going to legalize marijuana without the states pushing them to do it. No? I'd hope for more optimism, frankly. People also complain that you're not going to be able to grow marijuana at home. The truth is, you look at polling, and it shows that people are very concerned about allowing home cultivation. I think people should be able to grow a few plants at home, but we've seen a lot of people robbed for their medical marijuana grows. People don't want it near a school zone. It's an Achilles heel. So they've written the law this way so that they can pass it. And then a lot of pot activists say, but marijuana is going to be taxed. Shut up, teenagers. Yeah, marijuana is going to be taxed. Like, what crazy planet do you live in that you think we're going to legalize a gigantic agricultural commodity and we're not going to fucking tax it? You greedy bastards. I went to Hempfest in August, and Hempfest is the largest marijuana legalization rally in the entire world, and I'm so goddamn proud that it's in Seattle, Washington. And it did the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life this year. It was the largest anti-marijuana legalization rally I've ever been to in my life, because it was overrun by medical marijuana dispensaries and medical marijuana industry opposing Initiative 502, sometimes violating election law by not identifying who was paying for stuff. Handouts, banners, signs, t-shirts, people wearing those crazy things over there, like signs that you walk around saying, "Go 502." That's what they were doing. They were up and down, thick, a mile on the downtown waterfront. And they were telling patients, they were telling medical marijuana patients that if I-502 passes, you're not going to be allowed to grow at home. I-502 doesn't touch the medical marijuana law in Washington. But they lie to them to scare the shit out of people, and I don't think that that's particularly fair. They also say that people who smoke pot are going to be pulled over, tested roadside a week after they've smoked pot, and they're going to be sent to jail. Well, it's bullshit. It's just bullshit. You can't test someone's blood by the side of the road. You still need probable cause, and you're not going to be detecting it in someone's blood, the science shows, a day or two or 3 days later. That's just not what there is. But they were harassing the I-502 volunteers, and the HempFest volunteers were part of the problem. But if you look at the people all together who are opposing legalization in Washington right now, and I hate to say it, and they'll say that I'm just an ad hominem attack machine, and they'll say I take sides, which I do. The people opposing I-502 are the ones who are making hand over goddamn fist under prohibition. Those are the people most loudly opposing 502. And I gotta point out that Pat Slack, the law enforcement officer from Snohomish County, he's also making a salary based on prohibition. And frankly, I don't give a rat's ass what they think about legalization if they're the ones profiting from it right now. And some of the people who are also opposing it, I'm not gonna name any names again. He's hiding. He ran. Jeffrey Steinborn is not in the room, has worked on another initiative, Sensible Washington. They're a group that ran initiatives in Washington State for a few years, and none of them got enough signatures. They're the people who are saying that we should not pass I-502. And this raises a question, then. What is a winnable initiative and what is not a winnable initiative? Why would we be enthusiastic about I-502 but not enthusiastic about the initiatives that Sensible Washington ran? And so I wanted to break that down. And for people who are used to this, this isn't rocket science, it's not new, but I do have to point it out because it seems like a lot of people forget it. And I have to sort of back up a little bit and say, you know, this is about winning campaigns. There is something worse than losing a campaign. And that's not even making it to the finish line. With Sensible Washington, they ran their signatures, they sent out their volunteers to petition, they said that this was all within reach, and their volunteers worked so hard to gather those signatures for no money, year after year, and it didn't even get to the ballot. So that when those people say, "I've already signed that, I don't want to volunteer, I don't think we're ever going to make it," it's because there are campaigns that don't have the resources and the foresight to make sure that they are, in fact, winnable. Because you can run something that is potentially winnable and lose, and you can win by losing. By having the discussion in public, we get our issue out there. So you run something viable, it doesn't make it, that's okay. It's not the end of the world. But where we don't win is by running something that is poorly thought out, that polling shows is never going to succeed, that doesn't have credible backers involved, that basically looks half-baked, like we're baked, like we're stoned and we haven't thought it through. So here's what you need if you want to run a winning campaign. You need money. You need a bunch of fucking money. If you can't get a bunch of fucking money, don't run a fucking initiative. It's that simple. You need credible spokespeople. You need people like Rick Steves. You need people like John McKay. And if you, the organizers, that sort of who are the kernel of the campaign, aren't those people, that's okay, but you need to be able to bring them in. You need to also bring in campaign professionals who know how to run campaigns. And you've got to have polling that's on your side. And part of getting polling that's on your side, and this is critical, it's compromise. You're not always going to get what you want. You're not going to be able to run the initiative of your dreams. We're not going to run the initiative that completely legalizes pot and makes every single person happy. You want a bill that can win. In 2012, yes. Bills that can win. In 2012, a bill that can win is Initiative 502. It's not some no-tax, grow-at-home, crazy, regulation-free campaign like has been run in Washington State before. It is 502. In 2003, it was deprioritization. In 98, in Washington, it was our medical marijuana law. And in 1995, in California, it was the medical marijuana law. And just as the Civil Rights Act couldn't have passed 50 years before it did, all of our marijuana laws are going to pass when it is their time and we have the resources to pass them. And here's what you don't need. What you don't need is every damn pot activist where you live to sign off on your initiative and give it their blessing. Because they're going to come. They're going to come and say, well, you didn't talk to us enough first. No, because your ideas were stupid. I'm sorry. Listened to you, but we didn't take your advice because we needed money and we needed polling and we needed something that could win. And I'm sorry if that hurts anyone's feelings, but sometimes winning hurts feelings. And they're going to say, but what if you have a federal Actually, I want to stop really quickly. There's a campaign out there, Solano Beach. They're talking about legalizing dispensaries. That is a small, manageable campaign that looks like it can win. That is smart. You don't have to run the biggest initiative. It can be a resolution supporting medical marijuana. It can be allowing dispensaries. It can be making pot the lowest enforcement priority. It can be legalizing marijuana outright. But you got to do what can win. What they're doing is very smart. It looks very affordable, and I applaud them. People will come, though, for these bigger initiatives, and they'll say, well, what about a federal challenge? I just want to point something out. We're watching a federal challenge right now over gay marriage. We've watched the Proposition 8 fight right now. And what has happened since that began? Polling shows most Americans support marriage equality now. Imagine that. The president says that he supports marriage equality now. The DNC last month, everyone was coming out for marriage equality. Marriage equality is the status quo, not in spite of, but because of a federal challenge. We want to challenge the federal government as well, make marijuana a national dialogue, and make legalization the status quo. And we can do that if we keep winning. Thank you very much.
Tom McColden from the Normal National Conference. Big thanks to DFW Normal for the filming and the editing. And Dominic, you couldn't have said it any better. That was, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best speeches in marijuana law reform ever. And it was some of the points I was trying to make yesterday when in our Toker Talk Radio second hour, we were talking to some people who are against 502. And I understand why you're against it. I understand what you're upset about, but you have to win what you can win. And the points about having to have money, you have to have money going into this. It's the way the political system works. You have to have big name backers. You have to have high profile supporters. You've got to have language that can win. Mick Jagger said it best, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And what we need are victories. We need a state to stand up to the federal government and say, enough, we're legalizing the stuff. And I think that's part of the worldview that is missed out by so many. I get so many comments from people in the chat room who are in Georgia or Tennessee or Florida or, you know, all these other places in the country, Texas. And they just, it blows their mind that this is even a discussion, that this is even a problem for some people. And when you get to that level, when you start thinking about this at the macro level, and not just in the United States, but worldwide, you look at Mexico and you look at the whole of the global prohibition, and you realize that somebody's got to stand up to it, and it has to happen. And in the view of the world, they won't see all the little details within it. They will see Washington State legalizes marijuana. And that changes everything. Everything changes the minute a state legalizes, not decrim, not medical, legalizes marijuana. You'll see. Hey, thanks, folks. That's all the time we got for today. I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.